Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez, and today we're going to talk about leadership and how to develop a highly effective marketing team for the future of the legal industry. Our guest today is Laura Galliano. Laura is the Chief Marketing Officer at Bilgin Sumberg, a law firm based in Miami. And Laura is a lawyer by trade and has spent more than 15 years in legal marketing. She is a self-described tech nerd who spends her spare time trying to hone her leadership and management prowess, reading crime fiction and chasing around her 2-year-old baby boy. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you for having me, Guy.
Thank you for being here. So it must be tough chasing around a 2-year-old baby boy.
I love every minute of it.
I'm sure you do. So I really am very excited about having you on this show. I think the topic that we're talking about today is something that our audience will be really interested in. So tell me a little bit about the topic, leadership. And well, actually, before we do that, tell us a little bit about yourself. So you started as a lawyer. What made you stop practicing and get into legal marketing?
Sure. So actually, it was a little bit different than that. I always wanted to practice law. And right before going into law school, I picked up a job in a marketing department at a law firm. And then I liked it. And I had the opportunity to move up in that department. And so when I had that opportunity, it was right before I was starting law school. And so, but that meant switching to a full-time job. So I changed my path at law school from going full-time to going part-time. And by the time I was done with law school, which was 4 years later, I had worked my way up to a director level in a marketing department. And around that time, it was also when the market crashed. Oh gosh, when was that? In 2008. And a lot of people were trying to figure out what they were going to do with their careers and do with their life. And I really enjoyed what I was doing. And it was really interesting to see the transformation of the legal industry, which we're continuing to see now. And it was at that point that I really learned that what I liked most was the business of law, as opposed to the practice of law. And so I've been here ever since. People ask me, you know, was it worth it to go to law school? 100%. I use my law degree, I think, every day in my practice as a marketer and understanding what our clients want, what our attorneys are doing, understanding the jargon. So overall, I think it's a valuable experience and it's an alternative career path for people who went to law school or who are thinking about what they want to do and are interested in the legal industry.
I love it. I totally agree. I mean, you know, being a recovering lawyer and now spending all my time in legal and digital marketing, I think having a really good understanding about the law and the types of issues clients are facing and you know, how to deal with lawyers and partners is so, so valuable. So I think clearly you made the right decision.
I think so too.
So you mentioned that the legal industry is evolving. What have you seen in terms of how that evolution is going? And what are some of the things that really stand out for you in terms of how the practice of law or the business of law has changed over the last, you know, 15, 20 years?
Well, I think that we saw a change or a squeeze or a different dynamic around the time that the market crashed. And I think we're seeing a different kind of change now with the growth of technology, innovation, machine learning, artificial intelligence, that sort of thing. Something that I sort of refer to as like technology 2.0. And I think, you know, everyone's talking about it right now, but it really is true. There's so much more pressure. And because the commodity component of practicing law will likely be consumed by computers in the future, it's really making the space more competitive for those law firms and lawyers who can add the human aspect, the creativity, the teamwork, the collaboration. And that's something that as a firm, we're very focused on. And it's something that as a CMO, I'm really focused on, because that same principle applies to a marketing department at a law firm. I say it all the time, and I think that the CEO of Tesla was the first one to say it, which is that, you know, every company will ultimately be a tech company. And so law firms are not immune to that. Law firms will be practicing law and a tech company in the future.
I love that. And, you know, I recently read a quote by the CMO at Kellogg's, and one of the things he said is, we don't believe in digital marketing. We believe in marketing in a digital world. And I think it's sort of the same thing, right? We're really in a digital world now. And yeah, if you're not building your marketing team and your competencies to address the digital nature of the world we live in today, then you're really cutting yourself short. So you mentioned having a strong marketing team. What are some of the things that you have done in order to build a strong marketing team? What are the right skill sets? How do you identify the right people that are part of a successful marketing team in today's world?
Well, I think that if I could break it down in its simplest form, I think that there are four components to building a really strong team. And I think that the first one is that as a leader, you need to think about it in terms of building the best team for the future you are about to create. And that goes back to what we were just talking about what the future of the practice of law looks like, what the future of the business of law looks like. And so when you're building your team and you're cultivating skills and hiring new people and all of those sorts of things, you need to think about what that vision looks like, and you need to bring everyone else into that vision with you. Second, I would say that you need a team that needs to be committed to achievement, not just committed to working hard or working individually, but a team that's committed to achievement as a group. And I think that when you get people who want to collaborate with one another, you're going to become much more competitive. You're going to be greater as a whole than you will as individuals. And I think it gives you that competitive edge over your competitors. One of the things that I'm always focusing on is identifying the right traits for those team members. And so for me, looking for people who have passion, who are passionate about what they do, passionate about marketing, passionate about technology, passionate about business, the law, people who are creative. And by creative, I don't just mean, you know, artsy. I mean people who can come up with creative solutions to existing problems, or even creative in the sense that they can see around corners and identify what those issues will be in the future, not just for our clients, but for our business, the practice of law, the business of law. And I also look for people who are flexible, and so who are able to adapt and to work in multiple different kinds of teams. The third thing that you should really focus on when you're building a strong team is identifying the right skills that people need, and then helping to mentor them, to create a path for them to grow. A couple things that I do is that I like to give people in my team. Now, my team is a little bit different than a CMO of a, you know, AmLaw 100 firm, because I have at any given time 7 or 8 people in the department. And so I have the opportunity to work one-on-one with everyone. But I like to be able to give individuals at whatever level their own project so that they can really take ownership of that. And I think that when you take ownership of a project versus just being a piece of a bigger project, you really learn your own leadership skill sets. And I think that that's important. Another thing that I do, which sounds difficult, and it is difficult, is that sometimes I have to let people fail. And when they fail, that's when, you know, that's when you can really learn. That's when you can really hone those traits, that ability to persevere, to move past it, to reflect and say, okay, what did I do wrong? How will I do it differently? And so allowing people the opportunity to fail in a safe space where you can then help them to, you know, move past that and you can support them, I think that that really helps to build those team dynamics. And another thing that I do in terms of helping or mentoring people is I utilize LMA's Book of Knowledge. And I plug the Book of Knowledge everywhere I go. Everyone knows it. I think it's a phenomenal resource. And so for anyone who's not familiar with the Book of Knowledge, and I wasn't involved in it, so I may not be describing it exactly as they would, but the Book of Knowledge really identifies a number of different pathways in the legal marketing industry and how you would hone the skills that are needed within those paths. So I think one of them is marketing technology. One of them is communication. One of them is, you know, management and operations. And so for me to be able to sit down with someone in my team and say, okay, this is where you are. And if this is really the career path you want to go, I'll give you those opportunities. And these are the benchmarks that we need to get to for you to move up. And I think that that's a very helpful roadmap. And then the last thing that I think is invaluable in building a strong team, which is sometimes the hardest part, is making the tough decisions. And so sometimes that means that, you know, if someone is unhappy, even despite all of your best efforts, you know, mentoring, offering the resources, whatever it is, and it's just not working, it's having that honest and candid conversation to let them know that it's not working. And I think it's something that you owe it to your team to do, but I think it's also valuable for the rest of the team, because if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. So I would say that those are the four biggest components to building a strong team.
Wow, that is awesome, awesome advice. And I particularly clearly you've done a lot of reading and thinking about this topic, and I agree with a lot of the things you said. You know, especially the idea of, you know, having everyone in your team take ownership over different things, because that presents them with a level of responsibility, but also with a level of transparency, right? So that when the project is successful, they have that transparency and people can recognize their contributions directly, which I think is really important.
Yeah.
I also love the concept of failing quicker and learning from that. And I completely agree that, you know, as humans, we learn more when we fail than when we succeed. So to be able to have a culture which allows you to fail and it's safe and learn from that, I don't think a lot of firms actually have that environment. So I think that's phenomenal.
And it's a tough concept. I mean, it's a tough concept to practice. It's a tough concept to be a part of. But you have to be able to do it, and you have to be able to learn from it, right? Because that's really the key. One of the things that we spend a lot of time doing, or not a lot of time, but I try and make sure that we always do it, is have postmortems. Okay, you know, it's over. Let's reflect. This isn't a meeting to point fingers. This is a meeting to say, what could we have done differently? And I do that for myself too. I mean, there's no one who is without, you know, there's no such thing as a perfect person. So it's important to do.
Absolutely. It's learning from mistakes, and it's not a negative thing, but it's more like, okay, how can we make it better next time? What did we learn? And how can we improve on this process or the things that we did?
Well, they say that you cannot innovate without failing. There's no such thing.
I love it. So now let's say you have the right team. What do you now need to make sure that everyone is happy, motivated, and participating in the success of the team? What do you do? What do you think other people should do?
In terms of keeping everyone happy and motivated, I think that, first of all, you need to cultivate the right team, which is, you know, what we talked about. Because if you don't have the right team, you don't have, for lack of a better term, a safe space for people to be able to have that honest and candid conversations, which sometimes can be tough, but sometimes it's just a safe space to let people say, you know, hey, well, what if we thought about it this way? Well, could we try something a little bit different? So the first part of that is cultivating that right team. The second part, which is something that I've actually just recently started doing is communicating the top five priorities now. And what I mean by that is that, you know, we always, I'm sure you have this, every department has this, you know, you have so many balls up in the air, so many things going on. If you ever take a second and stop and say to your team, what do you think the biggest priorities are right now? You might find that people have different perspectives of that. And that's not always a good thing, because you need one overarching vision. You want everyone on the same page. You want everybody to say, yes, we have 100 amazing things and we want to do them all, but our five biggest priorities are these things. And this is where we need to put our, like, all of our effort. We can't, you know, lose focus on this, which happens throughout the year. So that's something that I've been doing, and I keep it up on a whiteboard. And I call it our top five priorities now, and they change. They could change tomorrow. One could come up, another could come down. But I'm trying to look at it every day and make sure that we're making progress every day on those five priorities. The other thing that I think that I'm trying to express to my team on a regular basis is the top five practices or the top five, you know, potential revenue generators, in terms of these are the core areas that we want to market. Like, of course, we want to move all of our practices forward, but these are the big ones. These are the ones we want to focus on right now, whether it be because we've brought in a big lateral or the market is, you know, dictating that decision. So we should all understand that. And I think that sometimes that doesn't get translated down to everyone in the team. You know, the more senior you are, the more practice group meetings you're a part of, the more leadership meetings you're a part of. And if you're not necessarily communicating that to the team, they may not understand, you know, why we're focusing so much on something or pushing one practice more than another. So I think that that's important to do.
So let me ask you a question on that, because I totally agree with that approach. And I find that marketing teams that are successful are those that keep priorities in mind and really focus on those priorities. But how do you deal with the lawyers at the firm that think that anything that they need is a priority and should be done immediately? I mean, that as a CMO must be a difficult challenge to handle. How do you deal with that?
Well, it's probably more difficult in other firms than it is in mine. One of the reasons that I've been at Bills and Sundberg for 12 years is because I have amazing support and I have that seat at the table. And it's not that I want to say no to attorneys, but I have the ability to tell them we can't right now, or this is why it doesn't make sense, or, you know, I hear where you want to go, but let's talk about a different way to go. And I'm always supported by our managing partner, by our leadership. Of course, a lot of that also is managing expectations with the attorneys. And it's a conversation that we have within the department all the time. You know, if someone says, I need this right now, sometimes, you know, it's not an excuse, but you can say to them, I understand, but this is our top priority right now. We need to do that. As soon as that is done, let's get together and figure out how we can help you achieve, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to achieve. And let's decide whether what you're doing really makes sense or it should happen a different way. So one is that support that I have and that our team has. And then the second part, I think, is really communicating expectations back to the attorney.
That's great advice and so, so important. So I have another question for you. So you talked about collaboration amongst your team, but, you know, at a law firm, and as law firms get bigger and bigger, we know that collaboration can't just happen inside your team. You also have to collaborate with other departments in your firm, whether that's IT or knowledge management or finance. How do you help facilitate collaboration across those different functions or departments at your firm? And what advice would you give our listeners when it comes to facilitating collaboration?
Well, that's also a very good point. And I'd say we're actually a really good case study for collaboration across departments and across our firm, because it's something that, in terms of our firm culture, collaboration is something that we're very, very focused on. But some of the ways that I do it, or that we do it, for example, we work really closely with our knowledge management department. You've seen that guy when we work with you, and I've had our CKO on calls when we're talking about our SEO strategy.
Yep.
And we just started this year. We hosted our first ever marketing KM retreat. And so we're going to be doing that on an annual basis, but then also have updates throughout the year. And the whole idea is, you know, whatever the topic is, whether it's communication, I think that this year it was about the client experience. And actually, I had everyone listen to your podcast with John Simpson about the client experience before we had that kickoff. And we talked about the client experience related to everything technology, whether that's the website, email marketing, you name it, anything, because really everything, like I said, is technology at this day and age. We had a huge brainstorming session. And out of that, not only do you have that team building exercise, but out of that, we came up with some real actionable goals. And so we're having our follow-up meeting in a couple weeks to further develop those action items. And so having that ability to collaborate is really important. And in fact, I was just talking to our CKO about it today, because I said, you know, now what we should do is bring in someone, if they're interested, a member of our IT department who could, you know, at least be able to offer, you know, their insights and input. And I hate to bog people down with meetings. That's definitely not the purpose. But I find that if you can get people together to brainstorm and collaborate, and, you know, possibly followed by a social activity, I think that's really valuable. Another way that I do it, or that we do it, is that when we have projects, bringing in another member from another department, whatever makes sense, right? But including them in the process, giving them that ownership, including them at the beginning and the whole way through, really makes a big difference. And we do it all the time.
I love it. And, you know, it's so interesting, because businesses, law firms, that you can't operate in the silo approach. You all have the same goal. In a sense, you're all touching the client or the customer in one way or another, and you're getting feedback from that client. So having that collaborative spirit and being able to understand where everyone's coming from and how to solve business problems collaboratively really provides, from my perspective, a unique differentiating factor. That's great.
I also feel like with the growth of technology and the way that technology is consuming some of our, what I like to call, commodities type work, even though people might not realize it, I think it frees up a little bit more time to be more strategic and to have more of those conversations. And that really is what, at the end of the day, is going to separate, you know, a good company from a great company, and not just in the legal environment, but everywhere, because identifying those opportunities for collaboration, and you see it all the time in really successful big businesses. That's what creates innovation.
I agree. I 100% agree. All right. Well, unfortunately, because I could talk about this all day with you, I'd love it. we are running out of time. So I'm going to leave you with one last thing. If you could give three pieces of advice to other CMOs or marketing leaders, what would those pieces of advice be?
Oh, boy. Three pieces. I guess one of them is that I'm a big believer in, is to try, at least for me, I'm constantly trying to learn and adapt. And so I'm a big believer in continued education. I read books about whatever the topic is all the time, particularly audiobooks, with my 2-year-old son in the back of our car driving into work every day. The other thing that I would say is really important, which I said earlier, is allowing people to fail. But not only allowing them to fail, but helping them to be accountable for their failures and to learn from those failures. And then the third thing, which I think is really, really important is just understanding that the biggest measurement of a successful team isn't retention or how hard people work. It's how successful a team is and how committed they are to that achievement.
Awesome. 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 I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Laura. It's
thank
been a
you.
Pleasure. And we will definitely have you back to continue this conversation. For our listeners, if you enjoyed this podcast, make sure that you go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast and subscribe so that you don't miss any future episodes. Or if you want to listen to some past episodes, that is a great place to do that. Thank you again, Laura, and thank you to everyone for being on the show today.
Thank you, guys.